Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 367, a review show. I got the normal cast of characters with me here tonight. I'm your host, Lou, and with me I've got Tim and Eric. Tim, how are you doing tonight? You ready for this?
I'm ready. I was born ready for this, Lou.
Wow.
Born ready.
That's saying a lot.
But I'm committed. Oh. Fully committed.
We know you're committed, so... That's what your wife says. And Eric, how are you?
I wasn't born ready for anything. Let me tell you, my whole life I've been completely overwhelmed and still am, but we'll get through it.
Awesome. So we actually got some good new stuff to talk about tonight. There was a lot of new releases in the last few days. In fact, the last weekend, at least, actually. Let's start off with probably one of the bigger ones that was released this past week was Netflix. They did the live Action Cowboy Bebop, which is not a reimagining, but a live action imagining of the anime. I don't have much history with the anime itself. Have either one of you guys watched the anime that led up to this?
Yes, I started last week.
So you're in your old hat with this.
I've never really gotten into anime. The only anime I've watched, so when I was a lot younger, I saw Akira and was completely confused by it. And I think Ghost in the Shell.
What's Akira that? Is a good anime.
I need to watch it again. I literally haven't watched it since I was 14 years old or something. Like, it was a long time ago.
The anime for Ghost in the Shell is far better than the movie.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But as far as recent anime, like what I count as actually having seen anime, I've seen Sword Art Online, and it was good. I enjoyed it a lot, and I've seen some of the Netflix exclusive stuff, like the Voltron reimagining, which was okay. And I watched Voltron as a kid too, I guess, so that counts, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And what was that other show?
But, you know, it's funny because you mentioned Voltron, and I enjoyed Voltron as a kid too, but I don't consider that as anime as a lot of the anime is. You know, it's
true.
Different.
Yeah.
It's a different style.
Yeah, but I mean that and Robotech and what was the other one with the
they were very bird popular Western anime
things. I forget what the name of it was, but anyway, yeah, I mean they still count. But so Cowboy Bebop, the anime came out around 98 or so, and it was translated into English. It hit the U.S. around 2001, I think. There were only 26 episodes. I'm on episode 9 or 10, I think. It's like anime in general is not my thing, but this is okay. I'm liking it. And I think the live action is, it's more interesting to me. And I think that it stays true to the anime for the most part, as best it can. Like, there are things that don't translate well from anime to live action, and I think they got that, and so they translated the things well to live action that they needed to translate. And I know that there's a lot of people online who are upset about the fact they changed anything, because, you know, this is their sacred thing, don't touch this. And to be fair, Cowboy Bebop was kind of groundbreaking at the time. It's kind of a combination of,
it's very, very highly regarded anime. I've never seen it, but yeah,
it's always very anytime you regarded. Ask somebody, okay, I've never done anime before, what do I want to start with? They always say Cowboy Bebop right out of the gate. It kind of felt like Firefly meets Sin City, meets a little bit of Blade Runner with a little bit of a 70s influence, definitely like 1950s jazz, big time. Like, that's a heavy influence. There's always jazz music going through it. Well, not always jazz, sometimes rock and sometimes even classical, but it's, you know, the opening for Archer, that kind of animated thing. So they have a similar sort of thing here. In fact, I think Archer probably got theirs from Cowboy Bebop, honestly.
Great. Now the Archer song is
so
going
imagine
through my head.
That style.
This whole episode is screwed.
A little
because that's
more
what's
jazzy,
in my head now.
And then it goes throughout the vast majority of the episode. Like, it's just, it's got that kind of vibe to it. And then a little bit of a film noir too. It's just fascinating. And again,
these are a lot of genres that
and
I
the
like.
Anime, and a little bit of cyberpunk too. Actually, I didn't throw that in there. So definitely some cyberpunk.
I like
the anime
stuff,
really, if there's any anime I'm going to end up liking, it's going to be this. And so far, like, some of the stories are meh, and then some of the stories are great, and I'm enjoying it. But I think the live action one to me feels, I don't want to say more grown up because that diminishes the anime. And that's not fair. I want to say maybe it's more serious. It takes itself a little bit more seriously than the anime does, but even then it doesn't take itself that seriously. I'm on episode 5 of the live action series. There are 10 episodes so far. It looks like they're getting a season 2.
Okay.
The Rotten Tomatoes scores are about 50%. From what I can tell, most of it is just the haters who are like, this should have never been done in the first place. You know, don't touch my toys.
The original are probably not going to like this. Yeah.
Purists.
Yeah. So Lou,
which I get.
Yeah. You know, I get it.
So it's like half the Star Wars fan base is apparently commenting, right?
Yeah.
So Lou, what,
all right. That totally cleared up everything.
Sadly, that's a good analogy so far, but I don't get it because I like the anime is really good. And the live action show is really good. Like, I like them both. Probably the live action a little bit more, though there's more content in the anime. But the first 5 episodes I've seen, I really like. And I love the freaking corgi. Oh, my gosh. But, Lou, how much have you seen?
Just the first episode.
Okay.
I have no experience with the anime at all. So I know the name. I know kind of the gist of what it's about. And that's it. So going into this, I'm... you know, fresh and clean slate as far as what I know about.
No preconceived notions.
Yep. And I've been very happy with that first episode. I thought it was a great intro to the series. It's, you know, it's introducing characters, introducing who the people are. Although I will say this, after the whole Rust movie shooting thing, I see sort of this. I'm like, boy, there's a lot of gunfire here. And I'm like, okay. And it brings it to a different.
Don't rewatch Sean Wick.
I like gunfights in shows, but
sure,
it brings it to different aspect for me now after that whole thing of what's going, what we've heard about what's going on from that, you know, investigation. I was like, wow. But great action. I mean, John Cho does a great job in the main role. I've liked him as an actor and other stuff he's done. So it was a nice thing for this, but
yeah, John Cho plays the lead, Spike Spiegel. Mustafa Shakir plays Jet Black. Daniela Pineda plays Faye, and does a good job of it. Let me say this. And it just came out a couple of days ago. I forced myself to stop watching it because there's only 10 episodes. And I'm like, I don't want to blow through it all at once. I want to spread it out. So I liked it so much that I had to stop myself from watching more of it intentionally, so that I will have more later, because otherwise I'll run out of it and then I'd be sad. Like, I'm liking it that much. I think it's that good.
The first episode is pretty close
good TV. To the first episode of the anime, Lou. Not frame for frame. They definitely changed some things around, but it's one of those things where they hit all the milestones.
Okay.
There is a character, I've had it spoiled for me because I kind of looked it up online a little bit because I'm like, why is this character not in it? There's a character who joins...
No, you looked up something online about a show you're watching?
Me?
I would
spoilers?
I never have imagined that.
So there's a character who doesn't show up until the very end of season 1, who shows up later in the anime and joins the team, who I just got introduced to them today in the anime, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this character is annoying. So I watched a YouTube clip of their introduction later in the live action series. And it's one of the, remember what I said a minute ago about some things in anime, you can't translate to live action. Same thing with novels and stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
This character should never have been translated out of anime into live action. And certainly not in this way. It is a very accurate translation and should not be. Like, they really needed to change this, and they didn't. I think maybe they even went further. And I've never wanted to take a baseball bat to an anime character more in my life than I do to this character. So I don't know. I've got my fingers crossed that if we get a season two, you know, it's going to be okay. But I'm loving this series so far. This is it's the perfect blend of all of these things, of kind of the jazzy secret agent style stuff and the cyberpunk. And you've got the cultural mishmash of things that you would have in Firefly, along with the kind of the rundown feel of things. Mm-hmm. When you get into the urban environments, it's very much Blade Runner. When you get into the rural environments, it's very much Firefly. The spaceship stuff, things kind of falling apart, it's very much kind of that Star Wars type of thing. And you know, they're bounty hunters, so there's that kind of thing too. It's just, it's the perfect blend. It's got that Sin City kind of a comic book storytelling style feel to it too, with the way, I wouldn't say it's reminiscent of everything Zack Snyder's done, but definitely kind of the Robert Rodriguez style of Sin City 300, filmmaking.
I'm in.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of this.
I'm worried I'm overhyping it. It's not for everybody. Listen, it's very much based on the anime, which is super stylistic. If you're not into stylistic stuff, might not be your gig.
I'm actually going to leave the show now so I can go on.
I might not be that sad about that. Like,
Wow.
Just me personally. I like it.
No. You know what? No.
Sad because you're
now
happy.
I'm gonna say just to aggravate Eric.
Happy because Tim's leaving.
Oh, I meant happy that he's gonna go watch the show. After he leaves to go watch the show, we can discuss the other thing. The other thing.
Yep.
So now, Eric, did you say there was some controversy over this new version
there's one line that pops up in one episode that I think everybody's overreacting to, so I'm not even gonna bring it up. Going to skip over that. But mainly the controversy is just, did this need to have been made in the first place? And is this kind of destroying this cult classic anime that everybody's loved so dearly, blah, 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 blah. So it's enough controversy that people are ratings bombing it. And I bring that up because if you're the type of person that looks to see what Rotten Tomatoes rates something as before you watch it, you need to keep in mind that a lot of people are bombing the ratings for it intentionally because they didn't want it to get made in the first place.
I really wish, and I know there's not an easy solution to this, but we have seen so many things get ratings bombed, and they got to fix it. They somehow have to fit. The thing is, a lot of it is tied to anonymity. You know, so if people had to register with their names and that kind of stuff in order to write things, but then there's also a downside to that too. Either that or just friggin' do away with publicly rated things.
That'll never happen.
Screw it. I don't know. No, it won't, because people like to express their opinions. And then what are they going to do? They're going to start podcasts.
That's the last thing.
And they're going to talk about things. And
my gosh.
Jerks.
Chat room, thank you. Fetmatic said G-Force. Tom said Battle of the Planets. They're both right. Yeah, Battle of the Planets is what it was called in Japan, and here it was called G-Force. But I thought it was cool because, like, the nose cone of the ship, like, the panels pull back and there's this motorcycle thing in front on the arms that lowers down and person goes riding out on the motorcycle. And
I really like G-Force. Yeah, good. I like that show.
Yeah, but Cowboy Bebop, the anime is pretty good as well. I kind of got that later on in the episode show notes, but just to cover it real quick, Spike Spiegel, the main character in the anime, is played by Steve Bloom. Best known as Zeb from Rebels. Not even best known. Best known to our audience as Zeb from Rebels. So, yeah, he does the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo Great Billingsley does Jet Black, and Wendy Lee, who I guess got Steve Blum and she got married after meeting on the show, plays Faye Valentine. So, yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Nice. Let's see, where are we? So the other kind of big thing that was released on another streaming service, so Cowboy Bebop is on Netflix.
So is the anime, by
Amazon
the way.
Prime, we had Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
Okay, good. No. On Amazon Prime this week, we had Wheel of Time released. Either you guys watch Wheel of Time yet?
Yeah, I mean, episode yet, and a half, almost two full episodes before recording tonight. Still sitting paused over on my TV.
We're about the same place in, because I'm in the second episode.
All right,
what'd
you think?
I thought it was really good. I mean, it's building a world that we know nothing about, so it's kind of starting from scratch. But it feels epic. It's got that, you know, Lord of the Rings type feel to it. That's building something bigger than it really is.
I think it sucks because it's building a world.
Have either of you guys
about.
Read the books?
Wow!
Like exactly what you just said, which is why I don't like it.
Yeah. What? But you get
no.
Have you either of you read the books?
No. And after this,
no.
No.
Okay. Not going to happen.
My stepson has.
Wow.
And kind of warming up to this. I'm interested to see what he thinks. I mean, I mean, pretty much across the board, it can be really disappointing to really love something that is, you know, in book form, mm-hmm. and then watch the movie and you're like, holy crap. They just condense down, and like the Wheel of Time books are apparently like insanely lengthy. There's like, you know, 400 hours of reading.
Oh God.
And, you know, so it's condensed down to, you know, whatever they're putting on Prime, which is not that. And, you know, so they drop stories, they change stories, they drop characters. They'll take like three characters and merge them into one. Oh. They do, you know, all sorts of things to make stories make sense. I mean, we've seen all these.
Have you read the books, Tim?
We've also seen Ready Player. I have not. We've also seen Ready Player One, which we're not going to talk about. But mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of license mm-hmm. that has to get taken. So, you know.
Lou, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first so that you don't feel like I'm tearing apart what you said?
No, you can tear apart whatever I say, because we're going to talk about that next Tuesday when we do the, what was that crappy movie you made me watch? Army of Thieves, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway. Sorry.
Wow.
I didn't like it.
That was a good movie.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Maybe we should have Tim on.
We're going to talk about that shortly. That was a damn good movie.
I think we should.
So I'm episode and a half in. I think that as confusing as it is because there's so much stuff going on and we're still learning about what takes place, who these, you know, who the groups are, who the people are. I thought the production was pretty high quality on this, and I'm pretty happy with the, you know, I mean, Rosamund Pike plays a great, you know, lead in this, I think. So, I mean, I'm on board to kind of go for the ride and see where it's going to take us and learn the characters in the, in the world.
Yeah. Great production. Great casting, great acting. The acting is really good. I feel like, so here's the synopsis. Long time ago, there was some like really powerful bad thing, and some really powerful good thing defeated it, and then nothing's happened for thousands of years, and now it looks like the really bad thing has come back, and so the really good thing has also magically come back in the form of the One, and so they're trying to find the One who can then defeat the bad thing. And in the meantime, there's lots of people talking about...
Oh, good. Another Chosen
story.
Another Chosen One story.
The same Chosen One story as all the others, pretty much. So there are places that are really important. And do you know why they're really important, Tim? Because the person doing all the exposition says they're really important. And then there's like powers and things that are mystical and mysterious. And we know that because the exposition lady says that they're mystical and mysterious. And
it's called magic.
Yes,
Eric.
But like The Witcher handled it really well and made me interested in what was going on. And here, when I realized that I didn't have a wiki handy for the damn thing by the beginning of the second episode, I gave up. I'm like, you're trying to get me to care about all of these different characters and stuff and locations and history and stuff, but I don't know anything about them. So how can I care about something I know nothing about? Like, even if, like, I get that you need to introduce things over time, but you need to make me care about the little things enough at first that I'm invested at least in those people as they discover these other things too. Like, you know, we're talking about the one in the Matrix, we could relate to Neo right out of the gate, even though we didn't know what was going on with the rest of the universe. Comics. I'm going to pull kind of a deep dive here. One of my favorite comic stories of all time, which has a definitive beginning and end, and it's won like every award that exists in comics. It's called Bone, by Jeff Smith, a former Disney animator. And it starts out with these three brothers ending up in some forest that, you know, they have no idea where they are. And they're interacting with like little bugs and insects and forest creatures and stuff. And it's all just a microcosm. And then by the end of the story, we're talking like literally Lord of the Rings level epicness with like kingdoms fighting and dragons and evil beings from like other realms and stuff. And you don't know that yet, but you care about what happens to just these three characters in their own little local village and like how they're going to get to eat the next day. And I kind of feel like with the Wheel of Time so far, and maybe it goes back to what you were saying, Tim, because they have to cram so much stuff in. It was really exposition heavy. I don't get any of the references. So I didn't understand why I should. I was being told to care about things, but I didn't understand why I should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a big thing. To be told to care about something is but to once you actually connect with it and become, you know, whether it's empathy or whatever other kind of meaning you can connect to it. That's what's really important. It's to be told.
And I get that, but you know, different shows handle the introduction of the lore in different ways, and some of them do an exposition like this, and I'm not a big fan of that. True. But they're giving it to you. You're getting it somehow, you know. I mean, it's going to take a lot to see what this does over the course of the season, and you know, in with shorter seasons now, it makes it even tougher, because I'm used to giving, you know, TV shows, you know, I'll give you the first run or 22 episodes to kind of get to know the characters, let the directors kind of get a feel for who they're directing, let the actors get a feel for who they're playing, and then go with that. In shorter seasons, that's got to happen much faster for me, you know, so we'll see what happens. But
now it takes two or three seasons to get 22 episodes.
Exactly.
You know what, though? I mean, good production, good acting, good directing.
They've clearly spent some money on this.
And it shows. I mean, and not in a showy way either, in a way that feels natural. Listen, I'm not trying to diss the series. There's some good stuff there. And I completely lost interest in it today, and I'm like, I'm done, and hit pause. I will come back to it later, because maybe it will get good, and maybe as I have a better understanding of what's going on, maybe I'll care more. But I don't have high hopes for it. I don't have high expectations that I'm going to get connected. I'll give it a chance, but right now it's like it's quickly tumbling down my priority list. But if you like fantasy stuff, and if you are willing to like fully pay attention and kind of go in for the deep dive on it, it looks like a well-made series.
You mentioned The Witcher. Did you guys hear that they have a 7-season plan?
Did not hear 7 seasons. Really? No. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was just announced a few days ago. They have a, you know, I am too. Not only for that duration of time, but the fact that they have a plan.
Exactly. Like,
that's
a plan's a big thing in my
book. It's great that we have, you know, a series, but like they don't have any definitive end. They're just going to keep on going until, you know, while ratings are good or whatever. And then once ratings tank, then they'll, you know, either cut it off, or they're going to like do some last season that nobody cares about. Like, that's just foolish. Have a plan, execute it well. Yeah, you're taking a gamble that ratings might drop off and you might not get there, but at least you have a definitive story.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That makes me happy.
Very good. I like it.
What's next?
Let's see. New stuff for me. So Star Trek Discovery Season 4 came back.
Yeah. How is it?
I liked it. First episode, it got a different feel to it from the previous seasons, but I'm all in. I mean, I've been all in since season two of this. Good pickup from where it left off. It's starting to put the Federation back together. It feels more like old Star Trek. Okay. You know, of what we're doing, you know.
So it was not a big it's kind of a different tone. It doesn't take a radical departure like it did between seasons two and three. Okay.
No, just I think a logical direction change from where they left off at the end of the last season, because they were still trying to put everything together again. I mean, for those who haven't watched it, you need to catch up. But
we don't want to get too
spoiler. They're putting things back together. Yeah, right. They're putting things back together. Because things were in shambles, but now they're kind of going back to our familiar territory, I guess you'd say.
Hmm. All right.
Let's see. Tim, you've seen a movie that I've seen that we just talked about briefly.
That was very diplomatic of you, Lou.
Well, so
you've seen a movie I've seen.
So First of all, real quick, I am going to mention the Marvel Assembled episode for Shang-Chi. Eric, I completely agree with you. That is the best Marvel Assembled episode that there is.
Okay.
Because it was not only a here's how we filmed something, it was here's how we filmed it and here's why we did it this way. Like, cool. There was a lot more explanation, not only of like technical cinematic stuff, but also because of there was so much cultural stuff in the movie, obviously, and there's so much of that they talked about. So yeah, absolutely solid, must watch.
Nice.
In terms of Lou, what I think you were referring to, maybe Army of Thieves, great movie.
What do you mean, great movie?
Great movie. Movie?
I don't understand why.
Yeah, great movie.
Eric, because Eric doesn't like prequel movies.
Right, which, therefore, when I say that I like this one, what does that tell you?
Tells me you've been drinking.
I've been tempted.
I mean,
maybe I should start.
So, I'll say, while I enjoyed Army of the Dead, I actually enjoyed this movie better.
That statement sounds really familiar.
This movie was more...
I didn't totally enjoy Army of the Dead either, but
this movie was more interesting, and it's a heist movie, and I like heist movies. It was very, very well done. I enjoyed it.
Okay, so I'll give you my personal prejudice against this movie is I don't like the main character.
Oh,
I find the main character annoying, and I'm like, no, dude, I can't watch this. So I'm tainted for that one fact. But
I mean, if you don't like the main character, you cannot like the movie.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
And as a heist movie, I mean, it wasn't a great heist movie. It was okay.
Would you like to join us on Movie Chatter, Tim?
Oh, make a three. Make a three against one. Thanks.
I don't even think I have to. I think that my interests will be well represented.
I have
represented.
No doubt that I can probably hit most of the points you want to say. If you will entrust me with that, I will do my best to make sure you are represented.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Such a good movie.
Anyway, moving along. Eric, what have you seen this
movie?
Well,
now we're going to kill all my credibility here. Don't stop the podcast. Don't kill the YouTube video yet. Just bear with me, okay?
Hey, folks, I know what's in the show notes. I know what he's going to say.
No,
you should just end
keep
it
listening.
Right now.
We'll get through it. We'll get through it together.
Just like, fast forward about.
I don't
want to
keep
seconds.
Listening. Listen, I don't want to keep listening right now.
It was
go ahead.
Such a glorious train wreck. The first season, everybody was talking about
just say it.
The show, and I'm like, there's no way I am going to sit and watch this crap. This is ridiculous. I'm not watching Tiger King. Not doing it. And then I thought, you know what? Just so I can comment on it on Random Chatter, I'm going to watch like an episode or two so that I have an educated opinion on it. And I can come in here and tell people this is just crap. I don't understand why everybody in the world is talking about this stupid show. And I binge watched the whole thing in like a day and a half. It was just mind blowing how this sort of thing can happen.
Who's at the cricket sound effects? Because I mean,
listen, I'm not going to try to convince you guys to watch it. I'm not. No,
you're not.
Because I know I won't succeed. I was solidly in the camp that you guys are. Just there's nothing you could do to get me to watch the series. Instead, it was, and the thing is, as it went further along and started getting into murder plots and FBI investigations and like all kinds of different just crazy stuff, it just got more and more fascinating. And so season two just came out last week, and it's only like, I don't know, four or five episodes. And the crazy just got even crazier. We're talking about smuggling to Mexico. We're talking about gun running. We're talking about like, it's just absolutely insane, and it was riveting, and I don't fully understand why, and I would never try to convince someone to watch it, but I just glued to the screen the whole time. Totally not my type of thing, but just that this kind of craziness can happen here in the U.S. is just stupid. And it's one of those things where there is no good guy. It's like person A is against B and C. Person B is against A and C. C is against A and B. And really, all three of them are just crazy.
Perfect. Perfect.
Why? I get to say what I have to say about the show.
Yes,
you do.
And you did.
Not trying to convince you guys to watch it.
I could lie and say it's boring. Riveting is never really the word I've ever heard used associated with what is it? Tiger King.
Listen, it held my interest.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was good. I mean, these people are insane. It's good that one of them is locked up, and I hope they get to the rest of them, and it looks like they're about to. Because this second season all took place like within the last year. This is all like newly updated stuff. And yeah, I can't wait to season three when they're all in prison. Like these people are just crazy. And I don't know. I'll move on. For me, the past week or so, I had a lot of projects going on, so I've been watching more documentaries than I normally would because I need something that's in the background where I don't have to care about a plot. I don't have to care about, you know, stuff that, wait, what did they say? And now I'm lost with what's going on, so I got to back it up. I talked about the ZZ Top documentary last week on the show, I think. So this week, HBO has a series, I think it's called Music Box, and I covered the Woodstock stuff. I think it was last month. And so this week I watched Jagged, which is about Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette. I think it's the 12th top selling album of all time.
Really?
I think it's like the number three release by a female of all time. Like just crazy, crazy numbers, and just how it just came out of nowhere and became as insanely popular as it did was interesting. But then also having her today talk about the experiences of, you know, trying to build a band and trying to tour and when, you know, Guns N' Roses comes to your band members and tells your band members, wow, we thought we partied hard, but you guys are crazy. And then she has to go like get her band members in line and say, guys, what the hell are you doing? Like stuff like that. It was really interesting. It was a good documentary. If you're even casually a fan of any of her stuff, I would recommend it. It was good stuff. And I think that just got released on HBO Max. So,
yeah, I saw the ad for it, HBO Max. I think it is pretty new. I might give that a try.
Like, it definitely.
I mean, when the album came out, I mean, like everybody else, I bought it.
I think it got remastered recently, too. Yeah. But it was a really good documentary because you don't have to be a fan to really get it. It kind of talks about, you know, just her experience through the whole thing is really interesting, even if you don't like the music. It was good.
Cool.
That's all the new stuff I've seen.
Okay. Let's see. New to us, but not new to everybody else, possibly. I just finished this most recent season of Superman Lois.
Okay.
So, I found it a bit of a grind to get through it, but it was on my DVR and I wanted to get it off, so I watched it, and it was okay, you know, but different take on Superman than I'm used to seeing.
Now, this is the current CW series, right?
Okay. Yes. Yep. He's married, living in Smallville with, you know, Lois and his two kids.
Okay.
Two kids, white picket fence, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. They make some leaps that are a little strange, but it's
over buildings
not bad
in a single bound.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks to Tim, I am still watching Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, how far along are
we? Tim, where are you in that, Tim? Where are you?
Still in the first season.
Good.
Okay.
I don't think I watched any episodes last week. There was just too much stuff going on. So I didn't get to,
I'll slow down in season two already. So
I'm approaching season two.
It's just compelling. You start watching, you just keep watching.
It's easy to binge
television.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, don't forget. Real quick. Tim, wasn't halfway through, wasn't there a little movie sort of thing? So there was the plan, which was 10 web episodes.
Right, there was a plan, and there was also Blood and Chrome, right? That was the other one?
Yeah, I think
the other movie? Blood and Chrome was a prequel, though. That was talking about Adama.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was okay. That wasn't quite as good. But was there like a movie that came out like halfway through, or am I just thinking of the two-parter with the Pegasus?
I don't think so.
So there's the miniseries and then the four seasons. Yeah. Of the main show, and then Resistance came out kind of in the middle of that. That was so the seasons ran from 2004 to 2009. Resistance came out in 2006. The 7-episode web series came out in 2007, as did Razor,
and then
Face of the Enemy.
I'm thinking of Razor. Yeah. Okay,
because that dealt with the Pegasus thing too.
Yeah,
didn't it
did. Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember Resistance.
And Face of the Enemy and The Plan came out in 2009. Caprica came out in 2010. And then Blood and Chrome came out in 2012. I end up having to look it up because, like, even at IMDb, there's all sorts. Like, there's like a gazillion BSG things. And I'm like, okay, what out there is, like, in totality? And, like, what order should I watch these things in and all that stuff? Well, so
I end up looking it up. Yeah.
Resistance. I'm drawing a blank on Resistance. What was that? Was that?
I think that was the prequel that focused on
Anders and his crew on Caprica. Okay,
I think so. Okay. And then Caprica is kind of an interesting series. Actually, it only got one season, then got canceled.
I liked
Caprica a lot. It's a prequel, and it's about them creating the AI that eventually leads to the Cylons. And
by the way, I actually got a DM from a listener who's listening live right now, who threatened to unsubscribe over the Tiger King commentary. No joke.
I could lie. I mean, if you want me to.
Tim, do you want me to make another fake?
You guys want reviews? We're reviewing stuff, okay? That's what we do. We're not saying everything we review is going to be good, or that you'll agree with all. We're going to disagree with stuff. But thank you for DMing us, and thank you for not unsubscribing. We want this. We want you guys to tell us these things.
No more Tiger King. Eric, what are you seeing that's new to you?
Oh, okay. So more documentaries. I don't know if this was... It was the day before I went in for jury duty, so there had to be a connection. But I watched 4 days in the cap or 4 hours in the Capitol, 4 hours at the Capitol. It was also, I think, on HBO Max, documentary about January 6th. I watched Moby Doc, not to be confused with Moby Dick. Moby Doc, a documentary on Moby.
Moby?
Moby was probably my first introduction to techno music, and to the point where I had,
as he is for probably most people.
He kind of made it mainstream for a lot of people here in the U.S. And I had like every CD he has. I can still tell you, that's the Go remix from this EP as opposed to that EP. Like I just had his stuff going constantly, and then he got into like. Once he started doing vocals, I kind of lost interest. But the documentary was weird. I feel like I needed to look up what drugs I was supposed to have been taking while watching it. It had kind of a David Fincher sort of thing. Like he brought in actors and stuff to like play his mom and her boyfriend at one point with another grown actor sitting in the corner playing his 3-year-old self. He had puppets at one point.
That's
it, listen. It was creative. And he was getting somewhere with it.
Trippy.
So definitely, you know, props to him for doing it this way. It was definitely a creative way to make a documentary, and it wasn't all just a bunch of camera interviews on the tour bus and crap like that. So definitely kudos for doing something different with it. Not my thing, though. Just like, wow. As a former fan of his, I'm still a fan of his older stuff. Like, it was interesting, but I was like, this is not really what I wanted to get out of a lot of it.
Okay.
But, and then Netflix, this series has been around for a while, I guess. And I didn't know it, but Netflix just picked up season 6 of 60 Days In, which is where they have correctional facilities around the country that are dealing with corruption and stuff like that. And the sheriffs that are responsible for it bring in people to go undercover in the prisons to basically keep tabs on corrupted correctional officers, how people are getting the drugs in and out, how people are getting weapons, etc. And this is all documented as part of I don't want to say reality show, because there's no competition in it. There's nobody wins money. There's no, like, it's real. They're really in prison. There's real fights and real violence and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, it, being former law enforcement, I've handled prisoners before and inmates. You know, the premise is the incarceration is the punishment. They're not imprisoned to be punished. The imprisonment is the punishment, the isolation and the being cut off from society. Right. And if you don't think that's a severe punishment, you have no idea. Okay, isolation, one of the quickest ways to break a person, all right? But, it was interesting. And they kind of showed how a lot of things actually happened. There were some things that I think this was the facility for the season where they had the warden who was taking money and pocketing it instead of putting it in like the food program and stuff like that. It was on the news like a couple of years ago. Anyway, they had a lot of problems at this prison. So I won't give any spoilers in case you want to watch it, but it was a good season. I'm actually halfway through it. So the season basically ended and the sheriff said, no, we're going to clean house, because a new sheriff just came in. We're going to clean house, and then we're going to bring in a whole nother people. So they basically then redid the season. And then they brought one of the participants earlier that then, you know, had gotten released, brought him back in as a quote repeat offender, basically. It was actually more interesting than I expected it to be. So 60 Days In, it's on Netflix, and it was enlightening.
Okay. Interesting. Now, I meant to go back and forth, but Eric just keeps talking. So we're going back to Tim now. In,
I can go back to Tiger King if you want.
For no. We're done with Tiger King. So you got a couple of things that you've introduced yourself to, Tim. What else you got for us?
Yes, let's see. Mentioned continuing BSG. Watch The Seventh Cross. The Seventh Cross movie done in 1944 with Spencer Tracy. It was about a bunch of prisoners who escaped from a Nazi concentration camp. And in particular followed one of these characters and kind of his journey in trying to avoid being recaptured and stuff. Really, really well done movie. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So Seventh Cross, that was quite good. Also watched a few episodes of the Bear Grylls series, Running Wild, which is, it's a Nat Geo series. You can get it on Disney Plus. And in particular, I went through and caught some of the MCU actors, that were in there, their episodes. It's done, I think like five or six seasons. They just dropped the most recent season on Disney Plus Day. But through the seasons, let's see, Brie Larson, Dave Bautista, Anthony Mackie, all really good episodes. Dave Bautista's episode in particular was like fantastic. It's a couple of days of survival. So, you know, very fish out of water type of thing, bringing these, you know, A-listers out into the wild and running them through various rigors. It, as you normally see in these, you know, survival type shows, and obviously some of the situations are kind of scripted and such. But there's also a lot the most interesting thing to me was simply the conversations between him and these people who he has on as guests, and, you know, dives a little bit into their, you know, into their history. You know, where did they grow up? How did they grow up? How they got into whatever it was that they do, you know, what's important to them now, that kind of stuff. Some really interesting things. The stuff with Dave Bautista, he says right up front, like, I don't do this stuff out in the wild. He's like, I was raised in a city. I live in a city. This is not what I do. And he was completely uncomfortable. He was very humble about the whole thing and just kind of the story of how he grew up, and his wrestling career and other things. Really, really very interesting, very humbling. Good stuff. Worthwhile watching. And there's a ton of other good episodes with some great guests on it. So it's something I intend that, you know, periodically I'll just kind of go back through and grab, you know, whoever interests me and you know, watch an episode or two.
Yeah, there's no ongoing story there. You don't have to watch every episode. If you like the person he is on, great. I've seen a couple episodes of the show over the years, and it's interesting. You know, they have a task, they have a mission they got to follow, and you get to learn more about the person along the way. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see, anything ongoing that we're watching that's still active right now? I, for one, have just finished the last episode of Foundation for season one. Very good. I like the way it ended. You know, it was a bit of a challenge, I think, to do this first season, because the first book in the Foundation book is a collection of stories, not just one continuous story. So, this doesn't do all the parts of the first book, so it's just focusing on the main two stories, I guess, in Foundation. But really enjoyed where they ended up with it. So you guys are both watching but not finished with season one, right?
Yeah, I just watched episode 9 tonight. What is 10 the season finale?
10's the finale, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, just one episode behind. Quite honestly, 9 ended feeling like a season finale, like it was pretty big. So yeah. And I love the different storylines and how it jumps between them. And it's just, it's done so incredibly well. Great directing, great editing, great story, great everything. Throw some awards at it or something.
Yeah, that's one of those things where they have spent a lot of money on this series.
they have.
And it shows. I mean, great special effects. You know, I think
the set design, costumes,
So the finale of season one was written by the showrunner, David Goyer.
Nice.
So
Okay.
He kind of did the opening and the closing of the season. So, and if you haven't listened to it, Tim, do the podcast, that the official podcast of the Foundation.
Yeah, I need to.
It's good stuff. He's got David Goyer on every episode talking about the episode they just aired, and also usually a writer from the writer's room in the, on the podcast as well.
Goyer's on each of the podcast episodes. You know, I tell you what, he's one of those names where if there's a project that comes out and he's attached to it, automatically it should be on your radar. He's really good at what he does.
Definitely.
And darn people doing podcasts.
Man. I know. I kind of feel like all these professional podcasts are like taking
over. They're squeezing us out. We need to get professional about something.
Step off, people.
Stay in your lane.
This is our territory. We peed on it.
I mean,
there you go. Not that I've watched yet, but I've downloaded and getting ready to watch the new season of Dexter. Dexter the New Blood. I guess it's just a one season thing they're gonna do based on the whole Dexter series.
Animated. He's got like a laboratory, and his sister runs around harassing him.
No, not that.
Different Dexter.
Anyway.
Very different Dexter.
Not kid friendly. What about you guys? What are you guys keeping up with?
Tim?
Doctor Who Flux, and then Foundation. So yeah, that's and along with all the normal things, you know, the SWAT, the Magnum PI, United States of
Are
Val,
you caught up on Flux?
So. I don't know. I think I'm one episode behind.
I think I'm two behind. I've been watching, I mentioned The Shrink Next Door last week. Still watching it. It's, because it's based on a true story and because I have an interest in psychology, actually it was going to be my career field initially out of high school. I'm enjoying the series, but it's hard to watch someone get manipulated in such a way that somebody else comes in and just takes over their life. But that's what happened. And especially when you know that it happened for real. And, but Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell do really well with it. Again, like I said last week, there's no comedy in it. But I wanted to see if it was going to continue being good and you know, if I was going to stick with it or drop it. And I think I'm going to stick with it. It's pretty good. The 4400, the reboot. I don't know. I was hoping it would ramp up a little bit by now, and it's not. Still getting good character development.
How far in are you?
Not much plot development yet.
How far in are you?
I'm current. So I think it's four episodes. 4 to 5 episodes, I think.
Okay.
I think it's 4. I think a new episode drops tomorrow. And then the other thing, Tim, you had told me about Ghosts. So I started watching it and enjoying it. And then I thought, you know what? Scrolling through, I think it was Hulu, and I'm seeing here. Oh, no, I think maybe it was HBO Max, that they've got the Ghosts UK version. I thought, I'll try it out. Mm-hmm. Why not? Watch the pilot, pretty similar. Definitely like the American version better. The UK version's not bad.
Did you see the most recent episode of Ghosts?
No, the D&D episode? I'm still an episode behind. But now that you say D&D episode.
Yeah, it's.
I'm still going to start watching this show. I haven't seen
good.
It yet.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get into it. It's
a fun show.
It's really funny. I like it. It's very cleverly done, and I like the last few episodes where they have basically focused on, like, the main story has been each one of the ghosts. So you kind of get a sense of what their backstory was, maybe how they died, something important about their lives, and this most recent one is very similar. So yeah,
the last one I saw was the one with the guy with the arrow in his neck.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. It's a good series.
Yeah.
Cool.
Darn funny. Cool.
And then I'm sorry, Lou, because I should let people know. A couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what? Why don't we rotate around instead of somebody like spitting out all the stuff that they've watched in any of the given categories? Like, we each pick one thing, we go around, make things more dynamic and stuff. And then the one who suggested this completely forgot you, this week. So
that's but, okay.
Yeah,
you pulled an Eric.
Okay. Good job, you Eric. That's what Lou was referring to a few minutes ago. Eric would shut up for a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay, man. We're still here. We didn't leave you yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
There's always that threat.
Tuesday night might be a different story when we talk about Army of Thieves. But anyways, what else have you been catching
up? Which was a good movie, Lou.
It was a great movie, Lou.
Anyway.
It was.
Eric, I see you've got a couple books in other media here as well. The Thrawn novel you have listed there, I forgot that came out. It was on my pre-order. It's been downloaded to my phone, but I haven't started listening
to
it
yet. Didn't get too far into it, but I mean, it's good so far.
I feel like I've not started it yet. I got my physical copy delivered yesterday. I
do
think
you
it's
have
the
it
longest
physically
of his
there,
it's
Tim,
like 550
like within
pages.
Arm's reach. Tell me how many pages are in it, please.
No. It's in another room.
No,
it's like 550
more than
pages.
That.
I think his biggest. No, it's
okay. Here's why I expected it to be more novel. Because the average audiobook, because that's kind of what Lou and I go by, is about 12 to 13 hours long. And the last Thrawn novel was long. It was like 15, 16 hours, I think. This one is 24 hours long. Really? Now,
really?
Maybe.
Wow.
I don't know if they put like a preview of another novel at the end of it or something, or what's going on. 24 hours long, Lou. So remember how long
I said last time
it took me to get through the second novel?
And they're it's a heavy listen because you're still trying to get your mind around the different characters and the names, and it's not the same Star Wars universe we're used to because it's a different part of the galaxy, right? And it makes sense that it takes more active listening to get through this, but I still feel like I need to go back and listen to the first two novels in the series just to get up to speed again, because it takes me a couple times, especially on a new audiobook, to get all the details out into
my head.
So I'll
say this. Zahn did something pretty clever with the prologue and does a good last time on Thrawn. Does it in such a way that it fits the story, and it kind of brings you up to speed on at least what you need to know. And then you get right into some stuff going on that's interesting and easy to keep up with. And like by this point, I kind of feel like, and again, part of it's Zahn's writing and part of it is Mark Thompson with the voices. But because of the voices, I recognize, and I'm actually starting to remember some of the names now too. Like Samacro.
It does help with that, yeah.
It's not as hard this time around. I think it's going to go a little better.
Just for my own knowledge, was there a special version of this novel?
That I don't know, hard copy, Tim?
That's been out? Because I know like the first one, they had the blue version. The second one, they had the red pages. Did they do anything special with this one, Tim?
I did not see any special release for this one.
Okay.
Nothing. And I usually do note them. This one I did not see anything special.
Yeah. I mean, I will be buying a physical Dead Tree version of this because I want to have one for my collection, but and
physical Dead Tree.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah, this would definitely be a full tree worth of paper.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is
somebody breaks into your house, I mean, you could defend yourself with this book.
Wow, 24 hours, that's a big book. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that someone could shoot, you know, most bullets and the book would stop.
So, Lou, I'll give you a shorter one. A while back, I picked up an anthology on Amazon. Audible. It's exclusive to Audible. And it's five short stories by five popular authors. And I didn't realize this until I got to the afterword by Blake Crouch. But apparently Blake Crouch is the one that put this anthology together. So he's got a story in it.
Oh, nice.
Veronica Roth, who did the Divergent series, she has a story in it. And then there are three other authors who I'm not familiar with their work, but their names I recognize. And it's kind of about like taking a single moment in future human, I don't want to say history, but, and then like kind of describing the effects it has. So Veronica Ross, I think, is about like the leaving the Earth to go colonize other planets. And like, this is like the kind of the last shuttles off of Earth. I started hers. I didn't finish it yet. I wanted something short because I knew the Thrawn novel was coming out, and I finished up my last book and I wanted something as kind of an in-between. So it, the story is called Summer Frost by Blake Crouch. Not, that's not the anthology name, but that's his short story that's in it. And they're individual files downloaded from Audible. So if you search for Summer Frost, I'm sure you'll find it. And it's about someone who creates the first AI and her interacting with it and trying to teach it and dealing with, you know, hey, is it going to get out and take over the world and kill humanity, or is it going to save humanity? And then, you know, the corporation she works for, who's trying to get money out of it, and et cetera. And it's really fascinating. Most of it is conversations between her and the AI. And it's only.
It, of course, is going to destroy humanity. That's inevitably how all these things go. I mean,
it's only maybe 2.5-3 hours long. So not very long. Really good. Again, Blake Crouch knocks it out of the park. So, but I would highly recommend it. If anybody out there is looking for short stories to kind of just get them through in between novels.
So I look for this on Amazon, just to see what's coming up. And so I find Summer Frost Forward Collection.
Forward Kindle Collection. That's the name of it. Forward Collection.
Okay. The Kindle edition is free and the audiobook is free.
Are you a member of the Amazon Unlimited Kindle thing?
No, just Amazon Prime. That's all I have. It says Prime is free for Kindle and Prime is free for the audiobook. I don't know why.
That's why I picked it up, because it was free.
I never knew them to do free audiobooks. Interesting.
Being that it's free, pick it up, both Kindle and Audible. No excuses,
people.
Exactly.
It's free,
support,
damn it.
Blake Crouch.
Unless you know, you are you know, you have a lot of podcasts to listen to from the Random Chatter Network. That's
you
probably the only viable
this
excuse.
Get the Kindle version and read it.
It's weird. It says Kindle version is $1.99. Prime is free. Okay. Listen and read and listen for free. I guess it's free.
Hey, even if it's $1.99, it's a steal.
Yeah.
The Blake Crouch one is good. The Veronica Roth one that I started, it was good. And I've heard good things about the others in the series too. So again, the Forward Collection, highly recommend it.
Cool. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the episode, guys. Unless you have something hiding you want to talk about.
Nope. I think I'm done with documentaries.
Otherwise, Eric.
I think I want to go back and get away from the real world. Plus, that way people won't DM us saying they're gonna unsubscribe if I keep
just don't watch any
talking
more
about
King.
Bad documentaries.
Watch good documentaries.
Listen, good documentaries. You know, we wouldn't have this show if crazy people out there weren't doing stupid things. Just saying. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter.
I wouldn't have a career if people weren't out there doing stupid things. I wouldn't have a career if people weren't doing stupid things.
No, because there's still natural disasters and. Yeah, it'd still be okay.
Yeah, but still.
We'll still, you know, the universe will still throw you a bone here and there. It's all good. just wait for this winter. So, speaking of seasonal stuff, this is Thanksgiving week coming up here in the U.S. I don't know. We haven't really discussed whether we're going to be doing a live episode next Sunday night. Stay tuned, and you can actually get more information on that in our Discord server. So if you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, that will give you a link to get into the Discord server, and we can discuss it there and let you guys know. Otherwise, we will be back, holidays pending, next Sunday night. We will be back Tuesday night with Movie Chatter to talk about the, quote, great heist movie that, in the words of the great philosopher Tim Riker, was a, quote, great movie called Army of Thieves. Lou will be there, too. So that'll be Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that's gonna do it. Go to youtube.com/randomchatter and hit the subscribe and like button. Give us your comments down below. You don't have to mention Tiger King. We get it. You're not gonna watch it, and that's fine. I don't expect you to. But we covered a lot of other stuff. Really, really good stuff. If you saw Cowboy Bebop, let us know what you thought of it. Let us know what you think of The Wheel of Time. Is it gonna get better? Have you read the books? Do you like this version or not? Let us know. Throw your comments in down below, and you know, give us a subscribe and like while you're there. That's gonna do it. If we don't talk to you before then, enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday weekend here in the US. And if you're not in the US, enjoy your week anyway. We will be back soon. Until then, take care.